What's the difference between soul contact and intuition? You said intuition is mental. It's from the mind.
Intuition happens because of soul contact. See, soul contact opens the door to intuition. So we have the various worlds. We have the physical, etheric world that we're in right now. And then after we die, we go to the astral world, and we're in our astral body, most of us. And then the world above that is the mental spheres, and they're not as concrete. And then above this is an intuitive world. Okay, and most people in this world never get to the intuitive world in their consciousness. What they call intuition isn't necessarily intuition, it's more instinct. Like the natives are very instinctive toward Mother Earth and animals, and they have an instinctive understanding. Instinct is more like a computer programming that's in us that we tune into. And it's like we have a tremendous amount of computer programming within our bodies and with our nervous system and within our entire system. But intuition is, as spoken of esoterically, is something totally different. It's where you contact the intuitive sphere, and the intuitive sphere is a conduit for the higher spheres. So in the higher spheres, in the atmic, is the world of ideas. So if you want to bring down an idea, you have to ascend to the intuitive sphere or higher, and then bring down the idea or the inspiration or whatever it is. And that's brought down through the intuition. But the door is open to the spheres above the mental by the soul. Once you achieve soul contact, you have power to open the door to all the higher worlds. Soul contact is the door. You open it. And when you open the door, now in the Mormon Church, for instance, the thing that they put attention on is getting things from what they call the Holy Ghost. And some of their contacts are legitimate. Some of them are just contacting the emotional self and feeling emotionally good about things, and they think that's the spirit. But other things, some people in the various religions do have a degree of soul contact. They open the door, and they have different spiritual energies come into their life and verify certain things to them. This is all happens through opening the door of soul contact. Okay, any other questions on that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things that helped me a lot that DK talked about, I mean, we're talking about soul contact, and when I identify as this is who I am and I need to get contact my soul, that's the first step. But ultimately, he talked a lot about learning to identify as soul, because ultimately that's what I am. Mm-hmm. And so the contact's the first step. But as we start to think, how would I live as soul, or how would I live as a child of God here and now in a physical body? And he really emphasized making that identification is one of the keys to making that shift.
Yeah, identification, that's a good point. So to summarize the keys here of achieving soul contact is, first of all, to seek it. Seek it with all your heart. The second is to not scatter your energies. Figure out a certain thing you want to know. Like with me, what I really wanted to know was reincarnation true or not? You know, I wasn't asking, at that time, I wasn't asking about all the mysteries of the universe and everything. But I really wanted to know about this one thing, because I thought this is a really important thing to know. And so don't ask for everything. Find a couple things that you really want to know the answer to and seek that answer. So don't scatter your energies. And put thought into what you want to achieve. It's a little bit like something Larry will be familiar with, is like in writing a song. When I was about 16, I decided, I want to write a song and become a rock star, I thought. The rock star part never worked out, by the way. But I decided I want to write a song. So I thought, how in the world do you go about writing a song? How do you write? I could write words, but I thought, how in the world do you write a melody? going, how do you put it together? And I thought about it for about 6 or 8 months. Just thought about it almost every day. How do you write it? Because there's no instruction. No instruction available about how to write a melody. But I kept thinking about it. And one day, it took about 8 months or so. After about 8 months, all of a sudden, a melody came into my head. And I thought, so that's how it works. You just think about it, and pretty soon it happens. So after that, the next song maybe was about 2 months later, then the next one was like a month later, and then pretty soon I reached the point I could sit down and whip out a melody whenever I wanted. And so that's evidence that energy follows thought. And any skill that you want to achieve that somebody else has achieved, you could do it if you put thought into it. Because what's interesting about us is all of us as souls have the same potential. The only reason that somebody has more talent in one area than you have is because he's put more energy into it. You've all heard the story about the guy who plays the violin. He played it very beautifully, and a guy in the audience come up to him and says, "Man, I'd give half my life to be able to play as good as you do." And the guy looks back at him and says, "That's exactly what I did. I give half my life to play this good." But the guy wasn't really prepared to give half of his life. The other guy did. And so that's the difference. The people that excel, and we admire them for their talent, it's because they have learned to focus their energies and to concentrate, because energy follows thought. Energy follows thought is perhaps the most profound truism and the most useful truism that you can incorporate. Everybody should memorize that phrase. Energy follows thought. Thoughts are things, and a small drop of ink falling like dew upon a thought produces that which makes thousands, perhaps millions, think. Okay.
Quick question.
Well, yeah.
You talked about how to get soul contact. Could you explain the benefits? Why bother trying to get soul contact?
Okay, well, that's an interesting question.
What does soul contact do for somebody if they have soul contact?
Well, it gives a person a lot broader image. If you don't have soul contact at all, you're living in the material world, and the material world is pretty much, I won't say all that is, because there are a lot of religious people don't have much soul contact either, but even if a person is religious or not religious, if he doesn't have soul contact, his contact is narrowed down to just this world. Now, let's suppose you were restricted on the internet to just Boise. Boise internet is all there is available. Now, compare what you can achieve and what you can search for just in Boise compared to me, who I'm on the internet that has the whole world available. Is there a difference?
Yeah, sure.
Right, is there an advantage to being on the universal internet? Yeah. In other words, it opens up a lot more vistas of opportunity. Now, we have the oneness principle that I've often taught about, which is like a universal internet. Soul contact allows us access. It's like our computer allows us access to an internet that gives us information all over the world. Soul contact gives us access outside of just regular physical reality to greater realities. And in this greater reality, all knowledge of principles is available. Matter of fact, everything is available. But the first thing, the most important thing that is available are principles. The language of the soul is the language of principles. In other words, the soul isn't so concerned with data. If you ask, what's the temperature in Tampa, Florida right this moment? The soul will think, who in the world cares what the temperature is down there? And the soul has no impulse to verify that for you because it's inconsequential. But principles are very consequential. Therefore, if you're contemplating a principle and have soul contact, the soul is willing to verify a principle and also reveal new principles to you.